Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mr. Pick Me and the Man Hater podcast. I am Reagan, a.k.a. the Man Hater.
Hi, Reagan.
Oh, I did. Is this a radio show?
Welcome to Shop Talk, where we talk about all the boys on the internet doing bad things.
Okay, you lost me at the front end, but you got me back at the back end. We talk about boys on the internet. No.
We talk about internet boys. My crush this week
is
Buck.
Take that back.
No.
Ew.
What? No. Have you seen all the videos?
They'll be like, Buck.
Buck.
Yeah.
And Buck.
I know. All I know is he had his wifey since, think childhood high school age. She followed him all that time, and then he gets famous, and they have a baby together, and then he's with Ariana Grande. So Buck is not our crush.
I'm Mr. Pick Me, by the way, even though I've already been picked. I didn't actually introduce myself. No, but the thing, I wrote my review after seeing Wicked, and which, by the way, I think is the best movie I've seen in quite some time. It's amazing. But my one review was like, I was like, it was fantastic. It was amazing. Not a fan of Ethan Slater.
For SpongeBob.
Don't care for him. He played the part well. He actually performed
it
well.
He is the part.
He is the part, yeah. But some people were like, why don't you like Ethan Slater? I was like, I'm allowed. First off, I don't need a reason. I'm allowed to not like people. I'm allowed to just say, I don't know, a certain
I'm
actor
rubs
me the wrong way. I'm a human, yeah. Right? And then there was a lot of, this is not what the show is going to be about today,
no.
But there was a lot of discussion in my comments. They're like, you know, he didn't cheat on his wife. I was like, well,
just
that the bar? But I was like, is that the bar though? You have to actually fully cheat for it to be a problematic.
They were holding hands.
Yeah.
And like walking around in public.
Yeah.
Before. I can't prove or disprove, but
yes. I'm just saying
feeling,
it's still weird. It's still awkward.
Well, and then he's playing Bach, and Bach pretends to like Nessa, but really likes Ariana or Glinda. Yeah.
Spoilers. Spoilers.
Oh, I'm sorry. The musical's only been going on for a decade. but like, it's like insult to injury, literally acting out the play. Great, great.
Today's show brought to you by Wicked.
Brought to you by my hate of Ethan Slater. I've literally made multiple videos on that man. Okay.
Do we have something coming up?
Yeah, a different show that's not Wicked, but that we're equally excited about.
What?
Shockingly enough.
Something else they can buy tickets for?
Yeah. Maybe for Christmas?
Oh my goodness.
Have you seen that TikTok thing where it's like, it will really make a nice Christmas gift?
No, I haven't.
There's like this little kid talking about, it will make a nice gift for Christmas. But this would, because we are having our Mr. Pick Me and the Man Hater live show in LA.
Fireworks.
We're super excited about it. We're going to have a meet and greet Q&A first, and then the show. We would love to meet everybody and see everybody's lovely faces. So we are going to put the link to that show underneath the episode where you can buy tickets.
I'm excited to see you all. I think it's going to be fun. We haven't fully like laid down exactly, but it's going to be a live show. Plus, we'll do some other fun stuff that will be special for the show.
It would be so special. We'll love it.
So special. So special.
But we really want to see you, so please come out. It's going to be super, super fun.
And if it goes well, we're going to go to other places around the country, too. This is this is the first start. This is the first step.
Step one. Do the first show. Actually, step one, Chesco, is meet.
That's true. We will be meeting for the first time face-to-face days before the show. So
let's hope it doesn't go bad.
I know it goes terrible.
This show, we're just like I hate you. I hate you.
And maybe it's our last show. Maybe you're buying tickets to see our final episode. of Mr. Pickme and the Man-Hater.
That would be wild if in person we're like, oh, I think we hate
Turns
each
out,
other. Actually,
no.
I know we've talked for countless, dozens of hours at this point, but yeah, I didn't
Yeah.
realize. I don't like your face.
I've talked to you more than I've talked to most of the people that I are like my closest friends in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I tallied up how much we talk. I was like, damn, that's pretty good.
That's a lot. Yeah.
It's a lot.
Buy
Anywho,
tickets. Tickets
buy tickets.
available in the show notes.
In the show description, there will be a link to buy
Social
tickets.
media everywhere.
What? What does
The
social
ticket.
media everywhere mean?
All of our social media will have the ticket link on it.
Okay, but they're
So they
listening to
can,
the
yeah,
podcast.
but they can also go to our social media if they're not sure where to go.
If you get scared and lost or confused, go to social
Just come to
media.
social media and look. The link will be there.
It better be under this episode as well, sir.
Yes. Hopefully it will be.
What? You have control. You control this.
Yeah, I'm and you we know how good I am at remembering things, so
That's fine. I'll catch you.
it's gonna be fine. We're gonna
I'll
be
remind
great.
you. Okay, but what are we talking about today that's not wicked in our show?
I don't know, what do you want to talk about? Got a few things. We're you know, today we have a few videos of toxicity that
Toxicity.
toxicity in our city, in our city. No, buddy. We're going to talk about System of a Down. No, we're not. They're not. I don't know if they're problematic. I don't think they are. As far as
Hope
I know, as
not.
far as I know, they're good. I don't know.
Couldn't
We're going to talk
say.
about toxic stuff. Theme song.
You want bad advice, man? I'll give it out
I got
gladly.
some good advice for you.
No, you don't.
Advice for you.
No, you don't.
So basically, today is a grab bag of videos Chesco and I, at some point over the past week or 2 weeks, recognizes this is toxic. I want to talk about it. And here we are. Okay, this one literally had me like, this one's really shocking. So I don't know if this is a good start, but I saw this and I was like, what? This is just a guy in his car, per usual.
Always.
You know, the title on the video is How I Decide She's the One.
Oh.
Any woman that could allow me to take out my anger, my frustration, my pent-up aggression on her body, she deserves the world. And that's the kind of thing that makes me want you.
Wait,
If I see you and I
hold
tell.
on, hold on. What?
Hold on, we have
What?
to listen. No, we have
Okay,
to.
I'm sorry. I could wasn't gonna be able to hear the rest of the video because I
I
was
was
just in
like,
my head.
I saw that too. And he's
What?
so calm and casual. Like, he's just saying, like, any woman who makes me a fresh cooked meal. Like, okay, hold on, keep going.
Okay.
I'll get her anything she wants. I'll literally spoil her. Then I want you. I'm not finna shoot my shot just cause you look good. I'm not finna approach you just cause you look good. I really want you. Like it's something in me that will do anything for you because I feel like you can fulfill my needs. Like, to me, it's definitely worth it. I definitely think paying all the bills, taking care of everything, buying her personal items, her clothes, all this stuff, just so she can stay in her soft girl era, so she can stay smelling good, looking good, nails good, will she feel confident and happy enough to allow me to be released, then yes, because that's a full-time job, I feel like. So I don't need you out here doing no 10-hour shifts, no long job. Like, if you want to work, that's you. But for me, that's how I pick. That's how I decide I want to be with her. I will do anything for her because I know what she can do for me.
Wait, he didn't elaborate though on what he meant by that. What does that mean to take your anger and frustration out on your body on a surface level? Like, the best case scenario is he like, so you can just yell at her? I'm gonna take it out on you.
I feel like he's talking
What does
about
that
like
mean?
in the bedroom maybe. But I don't know. I don't know. It's very casually said at the front end, and then he just starts talking about, I'll take care of you, I'll pay for you, I'll let you be in your soft girl era. I'm like, I don't think I'd be in a soft girl era if someone's taking out their aggression on my body.
Like, are they, does he mean like all you need to do is like let me like F you in the bedroom so that's your only job Because if I'm angry, that's what I like. Because he said release, I swear, at one point. And I was
he
like,
said, yeah, the release is what I was like, I think I know what that means.
Like, is that, or like, because if just the first glance, I'm like, what does it mean to take your anger and fresh? And you know, if two people consensually, that's a kink they have to
cover yourself,
have
Jessica.
Some like, you know, some angry sex, that's fine. He's basically just saying, what's most attractive to me is someone who I can just use as a sex toy.
I'm like, what are you doing? I'm assuming he's not talking about physically being violent on someone, like as in like,
no.
You know, because
yeah,
I mean, I don't know.
At first I was like,
but he's almost like, but it's like, okay, so then it's not actually about you and her and like an intimate act. Like you're literally using her and you're saying you're going to. It's like, so what about that makes you feel like you're soft girl era? It's just like crazy to me. This is like the extreme version of everything men say online, which is like, I want to do this horrible thing, but I'll take care of you, baby. I will pay for your meals. You don't have to work as long as you let me be violent with you. It's like, what? Are we you're just saying that now? Yeah. Almost like it's a thirst trap.
I don't.
What?
What did you just show us?
I found it and I was shocked.
I don't even understand. Like, has he still never actually said what he's attracted? Like,
we don't know what it means.
Like, I want to be clear for you. Let me say some absolutely out of the box shit that is just that could be interpreted in some horrible ways.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I want. And all you have to do is give me this thing that you don't quite know what it is, and I'll give you everything. I don't know who this guy is. I haven't seen him. This is the first time I'm hearing this video. I also don't. Does he have the money to provide this life?
I don't know, but it has 824 likes, so
oh man,
everybody is like, I'm scared. He thought he ate with this.
Yeah, what is happening?
Are you stable? This is insane.
My favorite thing though, and this is not necessarily this video, but the talking point of so many guys is like, the role of a man is to be the provider financially, and then follow that up directly with, why does she only want me for my money? This gold digger who only wants me for my money. Hold on. But the role of man is to provide financially for their woman 100%. She should not work. She should stay at home and I'm going to take care of her. How dare you only want my money?
And they never have any gold. They never have any money. They're always the ones that can't provide that say talk like that. This whole, like, I just can't imagine a man saying that to me. Like, well, obviously now, but get out of here.
What are you doing in my house?
Police! But this idea of like, I'm going to take care of you. Like, you don't have to work. You just have to let me violently take out my aggression on your body. Also, why is that how you get aggression out? Excuse me. That's not healthy. Like, you shouldn't be doing that.
Join a gym.
Yeah, go to a gym. Yeah. Isn't that what you meant? Like, go do the stairs and the weights.
Yeah.
Box someone. But it's like, I know so much about men's habits.
That's what boxing day is, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Aggression. All the pent-up aggression men. It's like you have this aggression and your immediate thought is, I need a woman to take this out on. Yeah. Hello. Hi. Yes. Hi, misogyny. Hi, patriarchy. How are you?
That's healthy.
Yeah. That's how she's the one, Chesco. I need to reemphasize. He says, this is how I know she's the one.
I guess this is how he knows she's the one is because he can say this absolutely inane, whatever the if he was saying shit, and if she hears that and it was like, yes, then she is quite literally the one person who would hear that and be like, I want that. That's what he means. He's not saying that he wants her. He's saying, I have a feeling I can say something. There will be at least one person that might hear this if it goes viral enough. There was a video I responded to a while back. I can't remember which one it was. It's when guys will put this blame onto women for the expectations of men to be financial providers, right? Of us, but it's like this is the talking point that is repeated constantly in these online men's circles about what the, it's this is literally a patriarchal framework that men are providers. When we say down with the patriarchy, it means down with this establishment that the only ones capable of providing money and doing all that is the man in the relationship. And that stems obviously from the framework of our society built on misogyny, where women literally couldn't, you know, until I don't, I still always repeat it because it's important. People don't realize that it was just 30 years ago, right? 40 years ago, I guess, where women couldn't even have bank accounts. Like that's upset. It was in my lifetime that women could not have bank accounts.
Credit card was 84. That's insane.
It's absolutely insane. It's the most, one of those absurd statements ever. And so the reason why there's still all this financial disparity in our society is because literally in our lifetime, or at least my lifetime, there has been
Oh,
this.
1974. Sorry. Go ahead. Keep
Okay,
going.
so maybe not my lifetime then, but like it's pretty close to my lifetime. I guess is in my era, I guess, of you know, that there's there are this is not like some inane thing from a bygone era, right? This is literally we are feeling the immediate aftermath, right? The immediate generation following an era where women literally could not have didn't have the ability to be the financial structure support system.
I remember someone saying, I think they were talking about Tradwives, but like if you get into a situation where you don't have to work, you will pay for it for the rest of your life. Because what happens is these men will be like, oh, I'll take care of you, which we don't even know if this man could. I mean, I'm not so sure in the current economy. Most people can. But the idea is like, okay, yeah, I'll pay for your stuff. I'll let you be in your soft girl era, which I'm like, again, no, she's not if that stuff is happening. But to then be like, but all you have to do is anytime I'm angry, I get to take it out on you. And like, it's actually quite honest to what most men don't say it out loud, but to what men believe they should be able to do. Because a lot of times that is what they're doing, is they're frustrated, they're stressed, and that's why they want to be intimate with someone, not actually because like, oh, I'm really enjoying your presence. Women's bodies are not for you to use as you please, for the love of God. Like,
I think it's an open admission also that telling on themselves that they have nothing else to offer. Right? Because you can still like we've talked about this on my show before. I live my lived experience in my marriage is actually lined up very well with this ideal life that these guys talk about, right? I am the financial provider of a family. My wife has chosen to be a stay-at-home parent for the time being, right? The this is I do all of this stuff. Now, I also respect my partner and we discuss stuff, right? And there's
What?
more to it than that. But like I could it's like if in those kind of relationships, when they've talked about women initiating divorce more often than not, it's because when something bad happens, right? If financially we, if I, you know, I, if I were to lose my job, if something bad were to happen, and the only thing I'm offering is money, of course you're gonna want a divorce because that was the only reason I was there to begin with. Why am I gonna stick around as the wife if the only thing you were offering me was financial security? If that's gone, and now all I have left is your abuse, your neglect, and I'm still doing all the work on my end, why would I stick around? Of course they're going to leave. And so the whole discussion about that they think is always this gotcha moment of women filing for divorce. I'm like, you don't under you listen to what you're ignoring all of the circumstances that lead up to that, and it's your own freaking fault.
It always baffles me the hypocrisy of them, like wanting to set up that dynamic and then punishing women for said dynamic. Like, you wanted it. Like, you said that. Because, I mean, essentially, they want that dynamic, but they also want to use that dynamic as leverage to get the stuff that they want. And to, even if it's just, and to pressure women to appease them and, you know, cater to them. Like, even if it's, I worked hard all day, you need to pick up the house. I don't want to come home to a dirty house. Or I worked hard all day, I need to have a dinner. I worked hard all day, I don't want these kids in my face. And it's like, well, you're punishing your wife because you worked, as if that gives you a reason to be able to do that and to order her around and why she has to take care of things. And yet that is in fact the dynamic that you agreed to. So you can't have it both ways. You can't say this is what we're going to do and then be like, oh, well, I did the thing we said we were going to do, but I need you to cater to me now because I did exactly what we said we'd do. Like, huh?
Yeah.
Ugh, I hate it.
These are called the consequences of our own actions.
I think men, a lot of toxic men, it's like, I cannot regulate myself. I don't have emotional regulation. So instead, I am either going to expect my partner, my wife, my woman, my girlfriend, whatever, to create an environment that gives me the least stress possible. Or I am going to unload on her and attack her and yell at her because I need to release this toxicity. Because, like, that's what they're doing. These men don't have emotional regulation. Like, if you can't go to work and come home to the life that you have chosen without being furious, like, the house has to be perfectly clean. Well, you have kids. So, or, like, you know, the kids shouldn't bother me, or I don't want to hear noise, or I'm going to go to my man cave. I don't know if people are still doing that, but God, I hope not. But it's like, that is because you cannot regulate your own stress. That is because you can't regulate your emotions, and you're expecting the external world to do it for you, and usually your wife in particular.
Right. And that ends up being the role of not just wives, but girlfriends, everything.
Sure.
They end up being the therapist, because the men are more used to, actually. So it's the emotional regulator of, and the reason why so many, and this go back to the same thing, the divorce thing. The reason why so many men will stay in the relationship even when things go bad is because they can admit that there's a lot more to be gained for them from being in that relationship, even though they will claim constantly, like, no, she's the one that gets the free ride out of all this. No, you're gaining childcare, you're gaining free meals, you're gaining a cleaner, you're gaining all of the and
you, like, couldn't said, pay
the,
for
the therapist,
it
the emotional you could not afford all of the different things that you were getting from your spouse, or by forcing her into that role. And that's what you were doing.
You're getting a deal, and you treat her with less respect than you would treat any of them, because you would never get away with it. Like, if you walked into a therapist's office and treated the therapist the way you treat your wife, or any profession, your cleaner, like, they would quit. They would quit. They would absolutely quit. So the men get all of the benefits from the situation. And, like, I love that you brought up the fact that, like, it's not just wives that are doing it. It's, like, it's girlfriends. It's, I mean, I had been, like, had relationships with men as far, like, even in high school, I was trying to get them to emotionally regulate. Like, I have a job where I work with a bunch of men, an acting job where that sounded really weird. I have an acting job where, you know, it's one of the only times I see that, like, that many men, because my life is quite lady heavy, but lady non-binary trans heavy, I would say.
And me.
And you. No, I have guy friends, but it's not.
Yeah.
I'm the only one. It's just not the most prevalent friend type of friendship. But anyways, so we, like, sometimes we'll go out and get food after work as a group. And, like, one of my, I guess, kind of boss looked at me and was like, okay, so you have everybody's number, and you'll get the restaurant, and you'll pick a restaurant, and you'll text all them, and you'll get it together. And I was like, me? Why me? Why would I be the one? I'm looking around like, excuse me?
Was there a vote?
Yeah, like, oh, did we just say the woman? It's the woman. But, the second time it happened, because, again, this is not my job, I looked him in the eyes and I said, hey, I am not responsible for grown men. I am not responsible for organizing things for them. If they, like, period. And he kind of, cast it aside. But it was like, of everyone there, there was a lot of men that were older than me, but for some reason, like, I was picked specifically over the men who had been there much longer. And I'm like, why am I got out of this? I am gay. I got away from the men. I got away from that. Like organizing their lives. So
this was the contract I signed, said I didn't have to deal with this bullshit anymore.
When I got my gay card, okay, that was the fine print signed. But really, you can't get away from it. It is so expected. Like, I don't know what the thought process is. Like, first of all, I am not organized. We know this. You know this. I'm not organized. I'm not a good organizer, like a planner. And so to have it just be like, there's nothing else other than like, I'm a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Why I would be the one. And like, I told another one of my coworker, a guy, I was saying that, like, I don't like that happened. And he's like, oh, well, so-and-so can't do it. And I'm like, why?
Why? Yeah.
Why is he allowed to not be organized?
He's just a little boy. He doesn't know how to.
He's literally like 60. Like,
the telephone back in his day.
That's the thing, though, is like, well, he's probably screwing up, and like, you know, men will be late and stuff, mm-hmm. and it's completely goes unaddressed. And mm-hmm. I'm just like, that would not happen for me. That would not be acceptable for me. Like, we just, there's so many things that men are like, or, you know, they're allowed to blow up and be emotional, and like it's they're given a pass. Like, I've seen men get incredibly angry and upset and throw what I would call like outbursts as like a child would have, you know, like very immature, and have no punishment for that. Meanwhile, women, if a woman would have done that, like, fired, there's no chance. And it's just like, everyone's expected to not only deal with men's emotions and often like violent and aggressive emotions, but that they're supposed to cater to them and make up for them and arrange for them and give them ease. And like, it's just, it's insane how normalized it is, even outside of romantic partnerships. Mm-hmm. Like, I was just, sorry, this has been on my mind since this happened, because I was like, how am I still here? Mm-hmm. How am I still having to do this? Because it's expected.
And it's great because they're like, oh, she's wonderful. She can be my wife. And I know that she's a lesbian, so I don't actually have to impress her. Don't fall in love with me, Reagan. Because everyone knows the best way to impress a lesbian is to be as incompetent as the men that she left behind.
Force her to emotionally regulate.
Mm-hmm. She's like, I do miss this.
I do miss. There was literally a grown man. This was a man who I thought was really cool. He was older than me. I think it's logic, but I think a lot of older men who maybe are misogynist have a different perception of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
This was like a married guy that I had worked with. And like, I found out later that like, when I was less of his friend and was more friends with someone else, that like I had a new coworker that I got really close with, was adamantly upset about it and told people about it, and was like, well, she, you know, we used to be really close and now she's not. And like, I cause he said this to another guy, and seemingly he was saying that he thought, I don't know what he thought, but I'm like, tell me. So you're a married man in your, I don't know, maybe late 40s, 50s.
Mm-hmm.
You think the lesbian, like the lesbian coworker who's never spoken to you outside of work,
right,
is somehow taken this with whole, you? Yeah, he literally, I was like, what?
I envy guys that can get into these deluded fantasies of like, what a world like of magic they must live in, because I am way too self-aware to ever, like, even when I was a single guy and women were flirting with me,
you're like, no.
I was adamantly like, they hate me. We're making out and I'm like, oh, you hate this. Oh, I'm so sorry to be letting. To, like,
I'm so sorry. I'm gonna cry later. I'm sorry.
Oh man, well, why would you?
It's the same as the guys who are married and like middle aged or older, and are the ones who be like, "Oh, if I wasn't married, I'd be getting every chick in here."
If she would give me a free pass,
all pass. Oh, but then of course they end up getting divorced, and how's that go for them? Not well.
Not well at all.
But they think that they. I I used to think it was maybe like, in my naivete, like fake cockiness, like, because if I would ever be that way, it would be because I was nervous, you know, like, because they come off so confident. But no, I think it's delusion, because I think they genuinely believe that, like, oh no, I could get any woman. Like, I could literally walk in any bar, pick up any girl. All these women want me, even though they don't say it, don't look at me. That's actually because they like me so bad they don't want anyone to know. So
I like, yeah, I don't if I was given a hall pass, I would be very lonely. I was thinking the other day, I was like talking about to my wife about this. This is a couple of months ago, but I was thinking about like how the people I've dated in my life, how I would always have gaps between dating because I had no ability to approach women. I was this is this it's like the most embarrassing thing. Like I had no prowess of our like I don't I couldn't get out of my head. This is I think the part of it, the neurodivergence aspect of it. Like I was thinking almost every single woman I dated was someone that like came after me, like that was like that made the took the initiative to really be confidently approach me and try to date me. And it was so funny. I think a lot of times it was because I was like, I really like this person, but what if we could be really good friends?
I don't want to
There
ruin the friendship.
were genuinely at times where I was like, you know, I really do think we could be good together, but I don't want to ruin. We have such good friendship. I don't know. Maybe I'm a
That's
weirdo.
very unmanly of you
Yeah, I
because I feel
know.
like most men are the
You got
opposite.
to
They're
turn in
like,
my man
I can't
card.
wait to ruin this friendship.
No.
This friendship is solely for me to ruin when you won't date me. I have no
Yep.
intention. This is a fake friendship from the start. I just want to get with you. Yeah, I feel like I don't think I ever approached men. I think they literally, like, I would be like, oh, we're friends. And they'd be like, oh, this is really fun. And they'd be like, let's date. And I'd be like, okay, this is
Yeah,
fine.
I guess this is what we're doing now.
I don't think I ever had any
Okay.
game ever. I can't imagine.
Yeah, I do now. I think I've thought about too back like the different times where I was like, oh, that person clearly wanted to date me. I still don't think in my mind I was like, I probably know better now, but no, I wouldn't. Like
Let's be real.
I would have learned nothing. It would be 10 years from now, I'd remember. I'd be, oh yeah, that was probably even you were talking about how our comment sections are like thirsting up, and I have literally until you said that have not noticed that at all.
I always
Yeah.
notice when people thirst
There's
after you. I'm like, guys, calm down. You can't
that I'm waiting
thirst.
at. I'm like, oh, these people are being so nice. They're so sweet. That's so kind of them to say such a nice thing.
Just a bizarre area of like conversation. Weird, like what you talk about online, such a strange place for people. Like you'll be talking about serious subjects and people be like, hey, you.
Just want to say, but I think it's also because like I don't get because I have there are single guys that I'm friends with in this space. And the thirst traps, like the what they, or the DMs they get are, or the comments they get are like real more like they'll have women sending that like them like naked pictures. They'll like of all this stuff. And so I think that's probably why I think in my mind, that's what it means to be hit on. Not like you have really kind eyes and I think it would be fun to cuddle with you.
I think you want me to have rights.
It's like, oh, yeah, because I don't get what for good reason. Please don't start sending me anything like that.
Please.
I like being able to open my DMs while sitting next to my wife. I don't know. I think it's just I think part of it is neurodivergence, part of it is anxiety, part of it is all. And also, I think the reason though, that's what I was going to get before I went on a tangent there. The reason, though, I do think the comments and the DMs that I do get that are probably people like subtly hitting on me or saying something are a lot more subtle is because of the fact that I do think still people respect that I am in a relationship in a weird way where they're like they do the whole thing that and you see older men do this a lot more than but where they're like if you were single.
Oh my God, I hate that.
Man, so that is one thing I do get a fair amount. Like, oh, if you weren't married, I know how much you love your wife, and I want to be very clear, I'm not hitting on you,
But I absolutely
but I,
am.
yeah,
It's such a
so those
weird
are the comments
thing.
that are, yeah,
'Cause you're like, but you're saying it. It's like if I was 20
right.
years younger, you'd what?
What would
You'd
you do?
what? You're like, how about maybe if you have to put a caveat, maybe don't say it. Maybe that's an inside thought. Just keep it, lock it down. Keep
And
it
even
in.
that work on getting rid of those.
And lock it up and never have it again. Okay, did you want?
Well, real last thing, the whole thing. There is no more confident person than a 50-year-old married man.
100%. 100%.
That is where they are just They know,
Mediocre
and
man.
especially mediocre man that is in a long-term relationship, that is confident that they're at that point that their marriage isn't going away. They've been married for 20 years. Like there's nothing to lose at that at that point. Like they're not worried about being left, even though it can happen. I think there's a lot more nowadays. I think there's a lot more women even later in life realizing, oh shit, I don't have to
This is
be stuck.
bullshit.
This is why am I? Yeah, why am I? You know, we raised our kids, and now I want happiness. Can we move the fuck on? And good for you if you are that person, because you
Yes.
shouldn't be stuck in.
Go,
There was,
queen.
oh, here, you know what? I that was going to talk about this video. There was a video. Do you know Kat Stickler is she
Sounds
used to
familiar.
be like, it was her and her husband used to have it, like that's how they became famous. They did like relationship stuff, but it was really at times really awkward. Like he just felt like an asshole. And so like it was funny, right? And then it became and then yeah and then they got divorced. It was like, oh no, he was
Oh,
just
it
kind of a
wasn't that
shitty.
funny.
Yeah. But she does comedy stuff. She'll show up every once in a while. But she posted a video where I think she, I don't know enough about the situation. So if anybody does follow and is a bigger fan of hers, I apologize if I'm butchering the details of
The
this. But she was
lore.
dating, yeah, she was dating another influencer guy for a while. And they even had video. It was, I think they were in like an actual, like a relationship, not just like, a couple of dates. And there was videos where obviously he knew her. She has a younger daughter, so the and then apparently she was getting shit from people, for like in like how like they were upset because they broke up, like her and the guy, and people were like, hold on, let me find, hold on,
I'm trying to
pause
look
right
her up.
here.
Oh, I know her. Yes.
Yeah,
She's the one who does her Latino mother sketch.
yeah, and it's
Or
very accurate.
Latina? Latina
Yeah,
mother? Is
yeah,
that right?
yeah.
Okay.
It's I see she's literally my one of my theas specifically when she does that. It is really funny to me. I'm like I want to send this to my aunt, but I'm like I don't know.
It's you.
I don't think she'll take it in the best way. So I'm choosing what's best for my daughter and me, even if it means walking away from something familiar. And people responding, oh, it must be hard on your daughter growing up that way. Basically like judging her for breaking up with this guy. And I know the comments that she's talking about too, because I've seen them not just on hers but other people,
Yes.
about like how dare you date as a mom, right? How dare you have not just you should not ever do that to your daughter.
Yeah.
And I put on there, I was like, look, it's not like she's, I'm assuming, I don't, once again, don't know her, I don't think she's probably bringing home every first date to meet her daughter, right? I
I
don't
would
think
assume
she's like
not.
parading guy, and I don't even know how many dates she goes on, right? It's
I
but like I'm
literally don't know this woman.
I know, once again, I'm sorry to anybody that's a fan of her for me butchering her story, but the like I think it's not like she's parading all these guys and it's just this thing. It's just her daughter met a guy she was in a relationship with, which she should, because if that relationship gets really, really serious
Yeah.
and ends up going further, you don't want to find out right before the marriage that they hate each other,
Right,
right?
right.
Especially if you
Or he's
love
not
your
good with
child,
kids.
that he's not good with kids, or that he doesn't like her, right? There's
Yeah.
there could be all sorts of, you want it to be early enough. And so now her daughter gets to see her mom, that her mom has boundaries, has healthy
Yeah,
boundaries, right?
yeah.
That she was able to be, to fall for a guy and then realize that he wasn't right for her and move on. And that's not an unhealthy thing for a child to see, especially nowadays. I think too often what our children and what our daughters are seeing are their moms usually staying in unhealthy relationships for the sake of just being in a relationship. That's way more unhealthy
Yeah.
than seeing your mother walk away from a bad relationship. And I don't, not to say, I don't, once again, don't know the details. I don't think this
Yeah,
guy
sure.
was a villain or whatever, but even just in general, that
Sure.
life relationships don't work out. It's okay to leave when you're no longer in love or
Yeah.
happy. And I was like, that's not a bad lesson, but we hold the standard for moms, especially for single moms
Yeah.
specifically, where they still have to be chaste, and they're not allowed to fall in love. They're not allowed to be sexual. They're not allowed to be sexy. They have to just be mom until their child has moved out, and then they have to die alone.
Then they're haggard.
Then they're haggard, and they're like, how dare you actually enjoy your life and actually try to find love with somebody?
Well, there's so many things. Okay, hold on.
Yeah.
There's so many things I want to address with that.
Right.
Okay.
That was a lot thrown in one thing,
Okay.
but
Right off the bat, you know, I absolutely think parents need to be very careful with their children. I think they need to be very careful in the way they introduce people. I think they need to take into account the relationships children form with partners or potential partners and what that does to them psychologically, and really have a lot of care and concern with the ways that they introduce and the vetting process to involve their kids in their life, as someone who has seen trauma with children. And
because it can be done very poorly.
It can be, yeah, absolutely. It can be done poorly. Absolutely. All of that is, I have a firm stance on all of that. That is a valid
critique for those situations.
Totally. Yeah. Having said that, these people, to kind of what you were saying, don't know her. That you don't know her. So I think it's important to look at, you have a woman they don't know, who had a relationship that didn't work out. And the immediate thing is how, like, oh, look at what you're doing to your daughter. You don't know what this man did. You don't know if this man did something bad and she had to get away from him. Like, you have no idea, but the assumption is, oh, bad mom, bad mom. And regardless of any of the specifics, because I also don't know her and I don't know what type of person she is. I don't know anything about her. But this happens all the time online. Which is that the mom is critiqued. The mom is held to this crazy high standard. Meanwhile, like, where's the dads? Where are the dads? Like, just in, like, hate. There's so many people that, like, hate on single moms. It's like, I would never get with a single mom. It's like, okay, well, that dad's, I don't think, is getting the same treatment.
Right.
Like, they just aren't. They're not like, oh, you're a single dad, gross. Or like, oh, you have a kid that you don't support. A lot of them get away with getting into other relationships because they aren't involved in their kid's life. And yet the woman who stays is the woman who's critiqued. That's insane. The woman who chooses to keep the child, to raise the child, to provide for the child, to emotionally support the child, that's the person who gets the most flack and criticism versus the one who leaves.
It's always.
And
always.
That's insane. That's insane to me.
And even the dads that are doing the problematic thing of, you know, the parading and just having a kind of a cycle of letting the kids get attached, do not get, like, to your point, do not get the same thing. Oh, that's just, you know, it's my daddy, or that's the dad. Of course he's going to, he's a man. That's what men are supposed to do.
That's what they do. They're baby. Baby.
Yep. Little baby man boys.
Baby man boys, chauvinistic. Gotta get with the ladies, boys. Like,
And of course, the response of, like, well, what do you expect? Of course I'm going to. No. It's a double standard.
It's a ridiculously double standard. But it's also like, so because of how bad of a parent you're being, you get less heat because, like, that makes no sense. Like, because you're not supportive and you're not there, we're not going to berate you like we berate the mother who's doing all the work. People need to freaking get it together with, like, you know, judging people they don't know, especially on parenthood. Like, I mean, to be fair, I just did a video critiquing. There's two moms online, the Resilient Jenkins mom and the Nurse Hannah, who I had a lot of thoughts on, and I critiqued them. But that was because I thought there were serious signs of bad abuse. Abuse.
I know that.
But when you're just looking at a mom existing and you feel you have the right to, that is such a fucking harsh thing to say to a parent. Like, oh, don't you think it's going to really damage your daughter? Aren't you kind of ruining her life right now? What? What? Who are you? Like, I'm just trying to make silly videos on the internet. Why are you, like, coming at me so strong, you know? And I think people are way too comfortable critiquing other people in very harsh ways, when, again, you're critiquing this thing when there's probably worse things to be critiqued in this situation.
Right.
Other than a mom saying, you're not healthy for us and walking away.
There's also this pressure, especially on someone like, you know, Kat is way bigger than either of us online, like, as far as followers and stuff.
Speak
like,
for yourself.
I'm sorry, way bigger than myself.
I'm joking. She has 10. She has 10 million followers on TikTok.
Like, she has a gigantic. And there's this pressure that you have when you get to that level that you have to share so much of your life online.
Yeah.
Right. That it becomes, and so, like, she probably in a typical world, maybe she wouldn't have shared that she had this boyfriend, right? She
Yeah.
wouldn't have shared. But if she didn't, then she's gonna get a t like when it comes out, oh, she's dating, especially if she's dating somebody else that's famous.
Yeah.
It's this whole like, well, why didn't you talk about it?
Yeah.
What is there a reason by it? How dare you? Why are you lying to us? Why aren't you blah 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 blah? And
Yeah.
there becomes all this other stuff that goes in there. So of course she, and then she shares it, and then it doesn't work out. And so people are like, you're a terrible person. Why would you even
Such a
share that
bad
with us?
mom. Yeah, I hate the way people respond to moms. I like especially like single moms and like yeah, it's like so the dad can do whatever he wants, date whoever he wants, marry whoever he wants, show up occasionally and he'll still be called a good dad, but the mom is supposed to never date again. Like literally, like is supposed to just be Susie Homemaker without any support, like as if her needs don't matter.
They're gonna be people to say, yeah,
Yeah.
that's she made a choice to have a baby, but they don't say, once again,
They don't
not
say
the
it, but the
dad,
dad.
not the dad.
But that's
She did
the
that, yeah.
thing is often like that happens because a woman has been lied to, has been treated poorly. Like nobody goes into a marriage, or hopefully very few people go into a marriage being like, I know that you're kind of a shit and you're gonna betray me, but I'll do this anyways. They go into it wanting the happy ending. They go into it wanting to have love, and then so many women, something like something bad happens. They get cheated on, their husband lies, whatever it is, they get replaced, like just horrible things, and they're left being the primary caregiver of their child. And so they didn't sign up for that actually. They had what they thought was a partner. They had what they thought was a good support system. They had what they thought was a good, like loving relationship and love and a probably thought we're gonna have a very wonderful home. And then bad stuff happens sometimes at the hands of their ex, and then they're left to just pick up the pieces. And it's so to say, like, well, you knew what you're into. No, a lot of women don't. And then they still make the choice to, like, okay, well, I'm gonna do the job that I expected to have a partner with. I'm gonna do it as alone a lot. But like to ask a mother then to be like, I know you thought you had love and a partner, and I know that, you know, you thought you had all these good things, but now that they've betrayed you, I'm gonna ask you to take the damage here, carry all the emotional load, the mental load, all that's gonna be on you, and you actually can't be romantic now either. We're gonna deny you
No.
any of that fun.
You do not get that opportunity anymore in life. You had your chance and you blew it.
You blew
It was your
it.
fault. You blew it. You chose badly.
You
Not that
let
he
him
was
cheat
bad.
on you.
You let him cheat on you. It was your fault
What
for
did you do?
choosing a shitty dude.
Yeah.
God, man, don't you feel bad now for choosing? Yeah, I do feel bad.
Yeah, number one,
Yeah, of course I feel.
yes.
Yeah.
I don't think we acknowledge all of the factors that go into things. And like, again, like I think the child's safety and well-being is paramount. I think their mo like and that includes their emotional well-being. I think parents do need to think about those things, and I think having boundaries is important. And I know people who will have like this amount of months until you meet my child, like things like that to make sure that this is somebody that their child should meet. I think all of that's good, but it's like, I don't think the answer is ever like, oh, you can't have any relationships. You can't be happy. You can't feel support. You can't feel touch. Like, this might feel a little off topic. You know, Drew Barrymore?
I not personally, but yeah.
What? I thought you guys are friends. She talked about the fact that like she, you know how she's always touching on people.
Yeah, she's very touchy-feely, yeah.
She's well, she I think came out and made a statement that like, oh, it's because I don't get any contact because she like doesn't date people, and she's like, it just comes out that way. I saw articles like, oh my God, but it's just like, I don't. Sorry, that just popped in my head. But also, you shouldn't touch people they don't want to be touched. But this idea of like. She's a mom. She doesn't date. I'm sure she's, I think she prioritizes her kids. It's like, we don't want to get to the point where everybody's, you know, touching everybody on couches. Like, that's if we don't allow moms to have pets. But honestly, like, because being a parent is so difficult, and so much of it is, you know, I love being a parent, but it's giving. You know, you're made it sound like it's giving. It's
It's
giving
giving
this. It's giving.
parenthood.
It's overstimulated. It's giving
It's
touched out.
giving sad.
But honestly, like, there's so much of that where, like, when your body is touched, it's because your child needs comfort. Like, it's very much like you are giving comfort. You are giving, when you are being touched, it's like because someone needs something from you versus because you're getting something out of it. Of course, like, I love cuddling my child. That's, but like, you know what I'm saying? And like, moms need love too. Moms, like, I think even more so need support and love and contact and like mutual contact. That's like, you're on, you both are getting something out of it. You're comforting each other, or to be comforted, or to be hugged. Like, there's so much that mothers need as a human being. They're human beings.
So obviously with her first relationship that she had a child with, it did back on this specific video, she clearly was seeking out that kind of storybook ending, right? That thing where she had a partner that loved her and loved their child, that they could raise a family together. Why, if it didn't work out, why shouldn't she be allowed to seek out a part two, right? Or an actual ending, right, with somebody that she could have that partnership with, right, that is there. But it goes back, it's like, okay, well, there are healthy ways to do it, and assuming that your child is happy and loved and you are doing certain precautions, like you said, not to to protect them, they're gonna be fine, right? And the kids are also more resilient than people realize. That's not an ex people use that as an excuse to do really fucked up shit. But as far as like this kind of stuff, as far as like them seeing the reality of the world, right? Because people use that same excuse about like when there's a gay couple on a TV show,
Oh my
that they're like,
God.
oh, I don't want to expose my ch they're going to be damaged. No, that exists in
They're
life, right? If
fine.
there's a trans person that exists, like, oh, I don't want them to, the I should be the one to introduce them. That you mean, because you're going to keep them out of society, right? This is the reality of the world, is that there are people that are not this normative 1960s standards of what a relationship and what should look like, that they are going to see in their day-to-day life. And if you shun it and you don't expose them to it, and you shelter them so much from seeing the diversity, the beauty of the diversity of the world, then you're actually doing way more damage, because they're only going to see that as something to be shunned, right? They're going to see it as something to be hated or to be feared or something like that. Versus if you approach it in a healthy, open, it's like talking about also. And talking about sex with your kids, right? When they ask, and being open and honest, and using the actual names for body parts. All of these things have been proven to be healthy if you approach them in a healthy way, right? There are toxic ways to do everything, and everyone always assumes the absolute worst, especially you mentioned as a mom online, but even just as a parent online. Every time I share any sort of parenting story, the perfect parents will come out and go off just saying everything without, but you, back to, I keep going back to the point you made. They don't know us. You know this 1 minute story video I posted online. Even if you know 20 1-minute videos, that is 20 minutes of a curated part of my life that I chose to share with you, that is not showing you everything. And to judge somebody on that is wild.
It's also like, okay, so if we're putting pressure on moms in the way that these type of comments do, it's like, so do you think it's better to criticize her for being in a relationship and then recognizing it wasn't healthy and making the best choice for her and her child to walk away? Or is it better to put pressure so that she feels like she shouldn't be able to do that? And so she stays in a relationship with somebody she knows isn't good for her. And so she's in a toxic relationship with this man because we know if they broke up that they weren't probably good for each other. And then the daughter witnesses these behaviors and witnesses the ways that they're not treating each other well, and that is then normalized. Which is worse in that case? Because I'm pretty sure setting the standard of if you aren't happy, you can walk away. If
Nailed
this
it.
person doesn't treat you right, you can walk away. That is what I would want to teach my child. I would not want to teach him, you should stay when it's not good for you. You should stay when it's not good for your child. You have to stay because the world tells you it looks bad if you walk away.
I have a family friend that is sadly in a very, very toxic relationship right now, and it's a marriage, and it's there it's that's but that they're doing that exact thing where they're like, they're so caught up on the idea of this perfect, of be having that storybook ending, and sadly they have a child, right, that is witnessing this really toxic relationship play out. And once again, like you said, that's the damage that's being done, is they're seeing that, and now their definition of
Yeah.
love is going to be that, and hopefully they can do better.
I mean, that's the bad part. And like the issue is, even with like lesser bad behavior, say, to our earlier conversation, say maybe a man just doesn't regulate his emotions well. Well, the problem is, if a child grows up with a somebody who stays with a parent that doesn't know how to regulate their emotions, then later in life they may stay in relationships and stay past where they should have left because not re being able to regulate your emotions was normal in their household. And say it's a parent who yells or whatever, then they stay in and then they get into abusive relationships. And because when most people would have gone, that was normalized for them growing up. They don't know that they're supposed to leave. They don't see that as a flashing red light. They may even find that to be comforting in a sense, like, oh, this is just the way relationships go because that was what was modeled for me. That's what's scary. Like, it's not, not that we're trying to compare traumas, but that to me is much more frightening, the implications of that w for a child, than, saying, hey, this didn't work out. He doesn't treat me the way I want to be treated, or it's not healthy for our family. Showing strong boundaries, strong sense of self, and the ability to walk away from situations when they are not good for you. Like, once I learned I could walk away, like, that changed my life. There were so many times that I was in relationships where guys would be acting like a-holes, and I did wouldn't walk away. I would just be like, oh God, I need, how do I fix this for them? Like, this is, I need to help them regulate their emotions, or I need to calm them down. And it's like, there's times where like the one instance is enough to say, oh no, I'm good. And you should be allowed to walk away from people who are not going to be healthy for you in the future. And like, I think that's such a good thing to model for a child, and walking away from any situation where you feel uncomfortable. That's what kids need to know. Like, a random dude comes up and makes you uncomfortable. Like, you're at the park and somebody makes you uncomfortable. Like, knowing you can walk away, knowing you have bodily autonomy, and you have the strong enough sense of self to say, like, ooh, this feels bad. That is such a good thing to teach a child. So, if anything, I think that's an empowering message.
And it doesn't even have to be this. I have no idea why her and this guy broke up, right?
Yeah,
It
it could
doesn't
even be
have to, oh,
anything.
it could just be they just weren't right for
Yeah, it
each
didn't
other.
work
And
out. Yeah, literally, but
that's
still.
also okay for a kid. That's enough. Because
Yeah.
how many times, I know we've talked about it with you. I know it's happened to my wife before, where you stayed in a relationship where you weren't really in love anymore, but there was no real reason to
Why should
break
I
up.
end this? Yeah, I need
There's no,
something. Yeah.
yeah, where and that's too common, where people will just be like, I guess I'll stay in this really unfulfilling relationship because they're not
They
bad.
haven't done anything bad
Yeah.
enough yet that I so I'm
No.
but this is the point. It's this shit.
Right.
It's this type of programming that we do with women. It's I God, I really need something bad enough that it's okay for me to walk away. That's the programming there. Because like, men walk away from women all the time. Men will walk away from their wives they've had for 40 years because, hey, that young girl winked at me. Like, it's insane. But like, that's the problem, is it is this, we're taught like, you should stick it out, and if you're gonna leave, you better have a reason. And if you do, if you have a reason, it better be bad enough. And if it's bad enough to leave, you're still gonna be judged for having left. And even if he's lied to you and got you to marry him and it's not who he said he is, you should stay. And if you leave, you're still like, you're gonna be judged for that. Like, there's just no way for women to win, and that's how they do stay in really bad relationships, because of fear of what's going to happen if they leave.
And that's what goes back to the same thing of these podcast guys that are like, and they but it's the women that are initiating the divorce early. It's
Yeah,
like,
thank
yeah,
God.
have you seen this? Have you watched your own show about what you're telling men to do,
Yeah.
but how you treat, like, good
I mean,
God.
while they're currently people like that are have legislative power right now who are trying to end no-fault divorces, literally right now. Yeah, that's horrifying. So no-fault divorce is like, you can just get divorced essentially. But if they eliminate that, you have to prove you have reason enough to leave, like in the court.
It's absurd.
You have to prove,
Yeah.
like, I'm not happy. Nope, that's not gonna do it. Because yeah, it's like, which by, I don't want to get into that one, actually. I changed my mind.
We could do a whole episode.
We'll do an episode on that later because it gets dark quickly. But point being, it's good for women to walk away. It's good for women to feel like they have a choice and have options, and that their happiness is important and the happiness of their child is important. And for so long, women did not have that luxury. They were not allowed to leave. And so I say, leave them.
Get out of there. It's like every show is going to end with.
Get out of there. But yeah, oh God, Jesco, that was a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it was a good conversation. I'm happy with that.
Let us know, viewers, our listeners.
If you were unhappy with today's
conversation. No, don't tell us because we'll cry.
I will.
Jesco and I will be so sad. If you have negative comments, we'll keep those as inside thoughts, and positive comments.
Save them for the live show.
No! We just get heckled. Not that funny.
Why did you buy a ticket to the show just to do that?
We would crumble.
Oh, yeah, we're not good with that stuff. So.
Yeah. Okay, everyone get in the line, and we're going to apologize to every single one of you.
Yeah. That's how it wouldn't as be getting angry. It would be us. Okay, all right, let's have a talk. Forget the show. We're just going to have a conversation.
100%. We would not be like, screw you all. We'd be like, okay, everyone have a sit down.
You think your booze hurt me? I've seen what you cheer for.
Are you not entertained? Oh, that was from Gladiator, by the way. Chesco.
My favorite movie.
Oh, my God. God, it was 300.
I thought Gladiator was 300. That's a whole nother. Was it the pre-show?
Oh God,
that
was a pre-show. My favorite movie, Friends. My favorite movie is Gladiator, and Jessica was like confused by that, and then he realized he thought the movie he thought was Gladiator was in fact 300 by Zack Snyder. Yeah.
If you enjoy this inane kind of banter from us, by the way, we do have a Patreon with a pre-show where we talk for about an hour every week about our lives and about whatever random things that pop into our heads that is less on theme, although occasionally on theme.
Sometimes. Yeah.
That I still stand by is the better podcast.
You know what? I'm not going to argue with you. I think they both bring a unique flavor. They're interesting in their own way.
This podcast is garbage. The good ones behind the paywall.
What a good salesman you are. All right, friends, thank you so much for listening. Don't forget, aside from the Patreon, check out the live show. We'd love to see you. Check out our socials. If you want to see our lovely faces, make sure to be watching the YouTube version of this show. Mm-hmm. And other than that,
we love you.
We love you.
I do, at least.
I love you.
Bye.
Bye.